Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Young. Good morning, everybody. Today we'll be talking about some moss control. Moss is not a new thing in golf course greens. I'm sure many of you in this room have dealt with it personally and fielded questions about it. I find it to be, it's a pretty unique plant. It is truly a cosmopolitan species. It can be found almost everywhere in the world, and it can grow on about almost any stable substrate, from the cracks in your sidewalks to the roofs on your houses to the sides of trees, and in this case, golf course putting greens. And it's really unique in that it can tolerate these long periods without water and lay in a dormant state. And then when water is available again within minutes, it can be back to actively photosynthesizing. So it's pretty unique in that respect. And then lastly, it can move around using sexual and asexual propagules. However, for the short distance dispersal, we really feel that it's mostly being done through the movement of vegetative propagules. Here you can see what an infestation would look like initially on a golf course putting green. You get these really small patches that you can see right here, maybe ranging from 1 to 2 inches in diameter. And this is really, I can't emphasize enough, this is where you have to start to take control of this problem. I really think that one of the best ways could just be mechanical removal, using a knife or a cup cutter to get that plant material out of there. Because if you don't, over time those colonies, and when I say over time, this could just be a period of a few months, those colonies are going to increase in size and start to become the dominant part of the stand. And this is really a problem because, as you look, I apologize, I don't have any reference, but you can see this picture is really zoomed in just by judging how small the bent grass leaves are. This colony is probably about the size of a quarter, and it contains thousands of individual shoots. And these individual shoots are what are helping this plant to get around the green. So you can picture, as you let this colony get a lot bigger, you just have this reservoir of plant material laying around and being moved around through golfers' shoes, through mowers, through rollers, however it may be, and whether it's getting around on the same green or getting to the next green, this is where it's really important to get that colony down to a small size and to a manageable number. There has been some really good research out there looking at moss control. One of the factors that influences moss is watering frequency, as you might expect, and we see that as watering frequency increases, watering every day compared to maybe every fourth day, you can expect to see a lot more moss. So that's one technique to try to space out your watering regime. And we see that frequent top dressing has also reduced moss. It is a slight reduction, about 30% we've seen from about 4 to 5 applications of top dressing. And then lastly, I think the biggest tool possibly is this chemical control of using quicksilver. Many researchers have found they are able to get some control. However, we do see that the control is often a little inconsistent and that it's not long-term. Here you can see a gametophyte that has been treated with quicksilver. And this is very typical of what we see. We see that the herbicide does a really nice job of turning the gametophyte black. However, what's unique about this plant is it lingers around. It's not like your typical plant where you would spray the herbicide, the carcass would break down, and then your desirable species will come back in to inhabit the area. What we see is that it just hangs around and that the bentgrass stolons can't get in there to recolonize the area. So this is where the idea of creating some available sites for those bentgrass stolons to actually have a home kind of came about for the study. One way to create some of these available sites is through using a practice like aerification. However, some of our friends, like people across the pond in England, they don't have access to the herbicide to use. And as we continue to see more bans on pesticides here, that's going to be a problem. So there was the potential that, yes, when you use the herbicide and we create some available sites, that we could get bentgrass in there. But if you can't use the herbicide, perhaps these available sites would be recolonized by the moss and not by your desirable species. So we kind of wanted to look at all factors here, which leads me to my objective, where we wanted to evaluate spring and fall cultivation techniques when used in conjunction with these top dressing and carfentrazone ethyl. And I kind of hypothesized, not kind of, I hypothesized, that we would see this significant herbicide by cultivation interaction, where when you use the cultivation techniques in combination with the herbicide, you would see this reduction in moss. However, when you didn't use the herbicide and you applied the cultivation techniques, hypothesized that the moss would recolonize those areas and you would see actually an increase in the moss. So to do this, it was a field study conducted in Manhattan, Kansas at the Rocky Ford Turf Grass Research Center. And fortunately enough, we had a pretty severe existing infestation on this green. It was a Pencross creeping bentgrass green that we maintained much like a putting green, where we spoon-fed nitrogen throughout the growing season from June to September. I irrigated as was needed to prevent any type of drought stress. And you can see here that I did have to move some plant material into the study area to get all the plots to have what I felt was going to be enough moss to be considered severe, which all plots had over 12% moss cover. To evaluate the treatments, I used a randomized complete block design with three blocks. I used a split plot treatment structure. And here you can see the three factors in my model of top dressing, carfentrazone zone ethyl, and cultivation. For top dressing, we had two levels. We had where we would put out two heavy top dressings in the spring and fall at 0.8 liters per meter squared of sand, just in the spring when the cultivation treatments were administered, and in the fall when the cultivation treatments were administered. And then we had a second level where it was the same thing, but we had frequent top dressing from June to July, applied at 0.4 liters per meter squared every 2 weeks, so kind of trying to mimic maybe what a higher-end course would be doing with the frequent top dressing. Just to help you visualize what's going on here, here you can see one of my whole plots, and on the left-hand side over here is the frequent top dressing, and on the right-hand side is just that spring and fall top dressing, and then my subplot is where I'm getting my 6x2 factorial on my subplot. So you get the combination of cultivation and herbicide. Here you can see my six levels of cultivation. We had two tine sizes. We had a 9.5 millimeter tine size at a high and low surface disruption, and then we had a larger 12.7 millimeter tine size. That's a half inch tine size at a high and low surface disruption, and we had a verticillin treatment and then just an untreated. But for today's sake, I'm only going to talk about that larger tine size at the high and low surface disruptions. And again, we put these treatments out in the spring and fall for 2 years. To administer the aerification treatments, I used the Procor 648. I'm not a Toro salesman, but this piece of equipment is really necessary for this type of research. If you've ever used it, it has the ability to aerify, to start aerifying and stop aerifying on the drop of a hat. So it was really necessary for this small plot size that I had in order to do that effectively. So this is a really cool tool if you ever want to do anything with aerification and small plot sizes. The verticillin was just done using what I would consider a standard verticillin that probably any homeowner would have access to maybe prepare a seedbed. And I did that to a depth of 4 millimeters there, so just creating a nice little slit. The chemical application of carfentrazone ethyl, we applied that 1 week before and 1 week after the cultivation treatments were administered in the spring and the fall. And this is the labeled rate of, the labeled rate would be 6.7 ounces per acre, which is the highest labeled rate for bentgrass. And the idea here is that you would spray the bentgrass, or you would spray the moss, you'd ding it back, and then you would come in and create your available sites. And then if you've moved any plant material around, your second application a week later would hopefully pick up any of that moss that's beginning to reestablish that you might have spread around. And then again, we had just an untreated check. To evaluate moss coverage, I used a rating grid. It contained 330 intersections. And I did this at trial initiation, so every plot had, I knew how much moss was in each plot. And then I came back at the subsequent rating dates. And that's how I determined percent change in moss, just by comparing my later rating dates, the amount of moss compared to how much there was at initial. My ANOVA was done using the product limits procedure in SAS, and my means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD with a p-value of 0.05. So moving on to my results, on the left-hand side you can see my main effects here with their interactions, and then across the top you can see my numerator and denominator degrees of freedom at my four rating dates. Most interestingly, top dressing was not significant. I thought that was surprising just from looking at the plots. You would have thought that there would have been. They just, I thought, looked a little better. However, you can see that I only have two denominator degrees of freedom as my residual for my whole plot factor. So I'm just really lacking, I think, that statistical power to tease out a factor that's probably making a small difference in the amount of moss cover. You can see herbicide was highly significant at every rating date. And then my cultivation technique was significant on the last two rating dates. So moving into my main effects, I'm going to set this figure up. The next figure is almost just like this, so I'll just explain this one. On my y-axis, I have a change in percent moss cover. and on the x-axis I have my rating dates. So in fall of 2012, which you can see right here, this is just a trial initiation. That's why everything is starting at zero. So a positive number here is the line would go up. That would represent an increase in MOS, which we don't want. And then as we get a negative number, that's representing a decrease. So you can see this is the effect of just the herbicide, and it's pooled over all my other effects. And you can see that as we apply the herbicide, we are getting a significant reduction in MOS cover. However, it is important to note that by fall of 2014, we have made a total of 8 applications, and we're still only getting down to 80%. So if you're going to rely only on the herbicide, it's going to take a long time if you let this get to what we would consider a heavy infestation. And you can see, not using the herbicide, you have a long road ahead of you to try to reduce this colony using other means. Moving on to that cultivation main effect that we saw that was significant. Unlike my typical hypothesis as usual, it wasn't what I thought. We saw that cultivation did reduce MOS when pooled over herbicide and top dressing. However, only the lower surface disruption and the verticillites were significantly different at the spring 2014 and fall 2014 rating dates. Just a quick visual. Here you can see what happens is that the bentgrass does start to inhabit some of these sites that were created by the aerification, but it's going to take some time until you create enough. And then you have the verticillicing, which I thought was actually a pretty interesting treatment that the bentgrass did. It did get in there and start to fill in those voids. So that was probably the least invasive treatment, I would say, for maybe a superintendent who doesn't want to go out there and aerify to reduce this. Here you can see, just a quick visual, this plot on the left, the red plot is an untreated plot that has not received any herbicide. You can see initially when I started it had 40% moss cover, has increased to 61% by the end of the trial. The black one is that is my highest surface disruption at the larger tine size. It is receiving the herbicide, and you can see that plot originally looked just like the plot in red at 61%, and now we have it down to 7%. And then the plot in yellow is the exact same tine size, not receiving the herbicide. So if you're just going to use cultivation, that's been 4 cultivations, and we reduced it by 8%. So that's going to be, again, it's going to take a long time if that's going to be your only means to reduce the moss population. So in conclusions, the herbicide using carfentrazone ethyl is definitely going to reduce moss cover. Cultivation, we also saw, was able to reduce moss cover. I think more importantly, we didn't see that it increased moss cover, so we don't want to prevent superintendents from, you know, doing a very important practice. And also that application timing where we applied before I administered the cultivation practices and after, I think that could be important, and that might be an area of active research in the future, maybe looking at how timing could affect how well the herbicide is performing. And then lastly, I can't emphasize enough to get this early, as with any weed problem, to use good monitoring techniques and to take action when the infestation is relatively small, and to not let it get to the stages that you saw in my research. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the Kansas State Turfgrass team. I really want to acknowledge Brad Gray, the superintendent for Mission Hills Country Club, for letting me cart his $25,000 aerifier up and down I-70 many times. So, and the Kansas Turfgrass Foundation for funding my research. And if I have any time?
Yeah, we have time for questions.
Yes. Are you referring? So the question was, in perhaps a picture like this, where we have removed some plant material, and now we're having these voids created where there's really nothing growing. How do we get that done quickly? I think that's where your top dressing is going to help to keep that void open and allow the bentgrass to stay in there. That would be my recommendation, is to top dress in conjunction with these to keep those voids open. My nitrogen rate was, I applied 2/10 of a pound per 1,000 every 2 weeks from June to July. I did mention this in the talk. but I did apply a half pound of nitrogen using Contec DG 18918 directly after the cultivation techniques were applied in the spring and fall. So it works out to be a total of about 3.5 pounds of nitrogen over throughout the growing season.
Yeah, that's all the time we have for questions. Sorry. Thanks, Dan.